Teaching today, are you running from the light? Are you running from the light? And maybe we might see where there are times even still that we run away from God for a number of reasons. And very often it's because the Lord is dealing with certain areas, sometimes very deep areas that can be very deep and painful, and it's like we just put up the barriers. Not today, Lord, I can't cope with it. Maybe tomorrow or next week, but not just at this moment. Well, of course, you see, God never listens to that because he loves us. And even though many times we find that we can't always face the mighty hand of God, yet he provides through his mercy and grace that provision. We were encouraged this morning, weren't we, through prophecy, that everything he's doing is by the power of his Spirit.
Amen.
And there is nothing he's going to do in your life that you will not be able to face or handle. Because at the end of the day, he's showing you that he is the one who's ultimately doing it anyway. And so often what he's looking from us is our will. Just to yield over to the mighty hand of God in which to do it. And what we find, isn't it, that when we finally settle these things that God's requiring or he wants to do, we then often look back and we think, well, what was all the fuss about? It's so often an attitude of mind. And this, of course, is where the enemy holds the world in darkness. And so often he works through these wrong attitudes, which God is delivering us from. This is why I say so often, and I'll continue to say, that most of our battling is in the mind. And this is why it is so essential that we present our minds, we give our minds over to God so that he works his will into us. So he's working both his will to do in and through us, which he's doing. That is why we make so much of Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, presenting yourselves as a living sacrifice. That means the whole person, the whole being, you are placing yourself now on that spiritual altar. And in fact, you are that altar. It is you, because there is nothing more we can offer back to God than ourselves. There's nothing more we can do. And so we offer ourselves back to him as a living sacrifice. And if that's the desire of your heart, that is what you want, and even he helps us to do that, then God will receive that sacrifice. And how does he receive sacrifice? Scriptures show us he comes like a consuming fire. He devours it up. And how is he devouring you and I with his love? And that is why he's jealous over us. And that is why he's jealous over the bride who's making herself ready. He is not going to let you have any other lovers. And those lovers we call our idols. And that is why he's delivering us. And that's why at times we find ourselves trying to run out of this light, because this light can be all-consuming. It exposes everything. And he provides for us through the baptism of the Spirit so that we don't run away. And that is why the mercy and grace of God reveals that here we are today, here the saints are in the room. This is God bringing us into his light, where we have true fellowship with him and each other. But that light, his light, is changing us, conforming us into his image. And we find that we needn't be afraid of this light, even though it may be honing in on areas of our life that he's delivering us from. And that is why we can go away knowing that we have been blessed. We have met with the Lord. We have had fellowship. That light wasn't so bad as the enemy was trying to say. You see? Because he's a liar. He's a deceiver. You see? And that's why we're calling this teaching tonight, Are we running from the light? Are we running from the light? Now, I'm going to open up with this, of course, in Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 to 11. Because here is one of the clearest analogies of what sin had done and what happened to man through sin. And you know this, of course, very well. But Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 to 11, where we pick this up. And the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the enemy, the serpent, and I have no reason to doubt that that was a serpent, and Satan was speaking through that serpent, that snake. And he says, he raises a question. He starts to raise a question about God and what God had said. And this, of course, is how the enemy tries to get our attention. He tries to get you to logically think it out for yourself. He tries to get you to doubt what God has said. He's trying here, well, you are God-like. You have a mind. You have an intellect. You have a brain. You can work and fathom these things out for yourself. You see? And God has given us a brain that is created and made for his glory. But he also wants of us to have that simple, childlike faith, that trust. And all he ever asked was, don't touch of that tree. That's all. You can have all the rest. I've made and created it all for you. There's just one thing. And God can do that because he's sovereign. After all, he's created and made life. Why shouldn't he? Giving everything else, why shouldn't he? And that was the very thing that Satan was raising the question. And we take it up. I say this so that it helps you to understand. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Well, how does he know that? "For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the serpent has understanding, enlightenment, that Adam and Eve don't have. Now remember, he was the closest of the cherub to God. He was next to God in God's creation. And we know how he fell, for he saw his beauty, he saw the power that he had, and he thought he could be God. And a third of the angels also believed it as well, that he could actually overthrow the throne of God. And we know the story, how a third fell. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, he's now trying to open her eyes. She's now looking at this tree that was there. They were not paying much attention to it at all. Suddenly, he's getting her to look at this in a completely different light. Up until now, God says, don't take any notice of it. It's there. Just don't touch it. Simple as that. Don't touch it. But saw that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. And she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate also. So he was taken in by the woman. The woman was deceived first. We notice the order here. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. They immediately saw by a light, but not God's light, a counterfeit light, and they immediately saw they're naked. Unclothed. Shouldn't have known that. They were created innocent in that sense. It was not a problem. Nakedness was not a problem before God and each other. They didn't have any insight, any understanding of it. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So here, eyes opened, a different light, a counterfeit light. That's why Satan is called an angel of light. And the next thing they try to do is to try to cover themselves as if they could. Where did they get this idea to cover themselves? Where did all of that come? It came from a knowledge and wisdom that God did not want them to know about, to understand. He didn't want them to know anything about any of this. But somehow they got an insight to cover themselves in a feeble way. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam's wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So here they are hiding from the light. And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to me, with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And so the Lord God said to the serpent, and he goes on, and he curses the serpent. And you know the rest of the story. They know they are naked. They hide themselves from God. They can't take the light. The light has suddenly exposed their disobedience. And so God is there. And then we know the rest of the story, how God, in his mercy, provides to cover them. We also note what sin is already doing. Pride has already got in. They're passing the buck. Well, it was the woman. Well, really, Adam was head over the woman. He should have been looking after her. God then addresses the woman. Well, it was the serpent. And so then God addresses the serpent. And so God has to deal with this scenario. They're all passing the buck. Does it sound familiar? Has human nature changed? Not at all. We find it today, and we most certainly find it in politics and whatever. They're all passing the buck. Nobody wants to take any responsibility. Doesn't change. Why? Because man is ever running from the light of God. He cannot take that light. He fears that light. There is the fear. They knew they were naked. They covered themselves. And it is the same that goes on today. It doesn't change. Whoever said that the Bible is out of date is obsolete. Absolute rubbish. It's still fresh revelation. It's still fresh manna every day. It hasn't got it wrong. because it is the word of God, it's the finger of God to man. So God reveals here much about his light. What did he say in creation? Let there be light. And God divided the night and the day. And he called night, night, and he called the day, day. Who created light? Who created the dark? God did. And God's using this as a sort of metaphor. Because it's the way we understand, you see. And so in the case of God, God reveals himself as light. He can still be God of the night, but he's God of the light to us because we need to see. We know, obviously, we see much better during the daytime than we do at night. We're told, aren't we, that our senses work differently during the day than they do at night. You know that when you drive. What is the hardest conditions to drive? Is it during the daytime or is it night? Most of us say we prefer to drive during the daytime than we do at night, because our eyes are having to work differently. And we have lights then at night. And it's much harder to find where you want to go. If you're out somewhere and you're in a new location, it's harder to find where you want to go at night than it is during the daytime. Of course, we have sat navs now, but they're not always 100% reliable, you know. So here it is, this difference between light and dark. And God said, let there be light. He says he lights up a pathway for us. I will light your path and show you the way that you will walk. So it has to be spiritually lit up to us, because we won't see otherwise. We will just grope around in the dark. Blind leaders of the blind. That's what Jesus said they were. That's what he said to the Pharisees, the scribes, Sadducees. He said, you're blind leaders of the blind, because you cannot see the path that is lit up, because you prefer darkness to light. And that is what religion is. Religion prefers darkness in nature. But we are children of the light. And he is so working with us in his mercy and grace so that we keep in that light and not run away. Because when you run away, you are running into darkness. I don't care who you are. You are. And it's the grace and mercy of God. This is why I thank the Lord. I thank God for this meeting today. I thank God I'm here.
Amen.
He's keeping me in the light.
Yes,
and I don't take that for granted. Because he doesn't have to do it. You see. He's a light to my path. The Lord gives light to Israel, that she may walk in the light. But she didn't want that light. Let's turn to Isaiah. See, Israel had this problem with God. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 5. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. And she often found it hard to do that, to walk in that light. Hallelujah. God said, didn't he, that they would follow the Lord. He would give them a cloud by day and fire by night. That was to give light to them in order to show not only God's presence, but when they were to walk, a guidance and so forth. And he has exactly the same for us. It's no different. Jesus said, you are the light that shines in the world. Jesus is the light of the world. We saw that light. We're called the sons of light. These are all sort of metaphors in Scripture to show that God is light and that he leads and guides us. God will be eternal light in glory, we're told. He will be the light of New Jerusalem. It will be his light, his presence. Now the light, the natural light that we have in this world is a light that always casts also a shadow. If you go outside today in the sun and you stand there, you will see a shadow created from you, from the light that shines on you. There won't be shadows in glory. There will be no shadows at all, for the light of God will be permeating in and through and through us everywhere. There will be no shadows at all. Now something's very interesting. I was shown a video not so long ago of somebody who had struck a match, and a light was placed on the match. The match was lighting, it was glowing. The shadow from the light on the wall picked up the match, but you couldn't see the light, the flame. It didn't pick the shadow up. And that's why God is also seen as fire. Mm-hmm. You see. That's very interesting. So that is the only thing that will not cast a shadow in this world, in this life, is fire. It's transparent. It's very interesting. The rest does. So there we are. God is light. But are we running from the light? This is the question that we're looking at this morning. Now to know if we're running from the light, we actually need light to see it. You actually need the light of God to show if you're wanting to run away from that light or not. So it's all divine revelation that God gives to us. For example, let's look at Proverbs 29 and verse 13. Proverbs 29 and verse 13. And here he says here, the poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. So there is a light that is seen, and there is a light that shows your impoverished state. It took light to show that you had need of forgiveness and salvation and a new life in Christ. So he's ever there to bring his light, his presence, into every situation. And that is why your prayers and intercessions are so powerful before God. Because your prayers and intercessions, praying for your family, your neighbor, the government, Israel, or whatever it is, you are in many ways releasing, in that sense, the light of God into the places of darkness. That's what you're doing. That's why our prayers, intercessions, are so important. How often have we prayed, Lord, open their eyes that they may see? How often have we cried out to God for our family or our son, our daughter, or whatever it would be? Father, open their eyes that they may see. You're calling on the light of God, his light that permeates, that divides darkness, and so on. So here we see some of these ways that God works in this. We see the nature of this light in Ecclesiastes. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 7. Truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the Son. So there we are. We're told that we needn't be afraid of this. As light is pleasant, as sun, summer is pleasant, we like to get out, particularly in the summer, so we needn't run away from this light. It is pleasant. Yes, it may expose, but it is actually pleasant. Now, what does the Gospel of John have to say? And here is a very important opening in the Gospels. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so it goes on. So here is God, the Word of God. He is the Word of God. The Word of God is light to man, and he divides darkness and light. And that was Jesus to the world. That is what Jesus is to us today. That is what he is. That is the sole purpose of him coming. That is his nature to us. Not only as Saviour, but as the Word of God. He is the living Word. He is the light in this world of darkness. And that doesn't change. And that is why, you see, the deeper life which we preach is that we do not run from this light. This light that exposes God's love, that enables this to be achieved in and through your life, my life. And it is very easy to run away from this. And this is where we have to be in humility. We have to be in an attitude with our knees bowed in his presence, ever there waiting on the Lord so that he is doing that work, that light is doing that work. Can I even add and say that the light of God today in this meeting with us is doing that work.
Amen.
Changing us, conforming us into his likeness, his image. You see? Hallelujah. So, we all of us at times have issues. We may still have issues with the Lord, where his light is exposing sin in us. But as you stay with it, you will find that God works this both in you, both to will and do for his good pleasure. He knows that we have issues at times. He knows that we find it difficult. He knows that, Lord, I can't take this at the moment. I can't face this. Or this is the worst thing that I ever thought would happen. You know, there's all sorts of things that go on. Or here we go again. I thought we had broken through this time. I know, I've been through it. What's all this about? It's the light of God. More light has to shine. It's not enough yet. Until the light. Because that light brings healing, deliverance, salvation. And that is why we hold on to the gospel of God's word, because it's wholeness to mind, body and spirit to us. That's how he comes. And he'll always start healing first in the inner man. And then the bodily healing starts to come. That's how he works this. And this is why we walk with him, we stay with him. because he's ever bringing us out from. That's the nature of the gospel. He's bringing us out from. That's how he works it. That's why we're sojourners, passing through. That is why he still left us on the earth to do that perfecting work. He's restoring us back through the second Adam, that which Adam Eve gave up. He's restoring that back to us. He's restoring dominion back to us. We know that, read Romans 8. He's restoring the anointing, the power that must be found in the body of Christ. Not one man trying to lord it over all of this, as you get in ministries today. But that we're all in unity and oneness, being restored, all experiencing that same apostolic anointing and power and deliverance. All of us, not just left to a few or to some minister who's reaping in all the benefits and all the glory and all the wealth and everything that so much you see today of these charlatans that are around. I'm told, not that I've seen it, but people who watch on the God channel, it's coming out all the time. Your donation, your giving helps support this ministry. God loves a cheerful giver. These gospel programs will only survive if you keep giving. Praise God. Here we see there's a sister just donated £100. The Lord bless you, sister. Oh, there's a brother here just donated £1,000. The Lord bless you, brother. Well, the Bible says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. Amen. We don't need to beg. The Lord provides. But of course, it simply shows they're not in faith. They don't really believe. They're building these empires. And sadly, thousands follow them, queuing up to be deceived. And they'll let you hear what you want to hear. They'll let you feel comfortable in your sin and your unbelief. Of course they will. When you start to preach the gospel, you lose most of them. I did. Many places over the years where I was invited to preach, I never got an invite back. God soon began to show me, because yes, you do examine yourself. Well, Lord, am I getting it wrong? Am I preaching a wrong message or whatever? You know, I want to be right, because I'm simply preaching what I see in your word. And it's one or two of them I got feedback, said, yeah, you can come back, but tone it down. Some of them are just young in the Lord, and you know, they're offended. Well, actually, strangely enough, some of those so-called young people in the Lord were the ones that actually rang me and said, what a message. See? It was more these elders and pastors that didn't like it.
Pharisees.
And I know that from experience. But it's the light. And that's what they don't like. The religious people don't like this light. Did you know that Satan is very religious? God isn't. He isn't at all. It's the result of man sinning, falling. It's religion that causes wars and divisions, not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Look how society, you know, I don't want that religion, I don't want to hear about that. That causes nothing but division and wars. Well, that's not what Jesus proclaimed at all. But that's a deception. They're the lies of the enemy, you see. So, what often is our biggest battle? Our biggest battle, where the light of God is concerned, is our pride. Well, let that pride be exposed out in the light. It'll soon start fizzling away. It'll be exposed for what it is, because pride is so often the biggest problem. And sadly, we know with pride, God has to repel. He just has to push you away. You see? He doesn't quite act the same we do, but we don't want to be around people for too long, do we? Who are very proud and arrogant, who are all full of themselves. They're not at all interested in you, or what you do, or whatever it is. It's all about self, me, I. I call it, I say they have the I disease, the me, self, I problem. And that is universal today. No, God raises up the humble, those who are willing to bow their knees daily before the Lord. Yes, there may still be some issues with pride, but the fact is you have settled it that you do not want it in your life. And God will work. Of course he does. He knows what we're coming out from. He knows what sin has done. And there's his mercy and grace. But God cannot work where there's pride. He actually has to repel. He has to push that person away. It's an offence before him. In other words, I know better. That's what pride really is. I know better than God. Are ye not all gods? The Bible says. Little gods with a G, by the way. So I believe the Lord is challenging us to have our eyes open so that we see as he sees. And that is important. And I know sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we don't want to see things. We sort of try to cover it over, or we're in denial. We're so good at that sort of thing. But Lord, the Lord's opening your eyes to show, yes, actually what I'm trying to show you, that is it. And he will always give the grace and the mercy of which to be able to endure that, to see that, to settle it. You see? And I know that's not easy, but God's ever working with us to be able to get to those places. And this is why you see our spiritual trials, our physical trials, yes, even our chastenings at times, it gets our attention to what? To truly see. To see what? God's light. That's why we go through what we go through. God permits us to go through these things so that we don't run away from that true light, because that true light gives us discernment. That true light enables us to see God. That true light shows us the path that he has for us. It's taken away all the veils. It's taken away all the deceptions. It's taken away above fear. Fear is the problem. You see, all the while there is fear, there cannot be perfect love. For perfect love casts out fear. That is the nature of love and what it does with fear. And when we choose love, when we choose to love the unlovable, when we choose to love, and so often it's the power of God's love loving through us anyway, we then find no fear can be present. So there can't be any darkness. For God's love is light. We know that. And that is the only way we can have fellowship. That is the only way the body of Christ can be built. That is the only way that we can be together in fellowship, you see. So there's the mercy of God. The mercy of God in your life, each day, as I bring this to conclusion now, is ever bringing you into his light. So that his light lightens up, so that you can see him, so that he can speak to you, fellowship with you, that he can speak to you through his word. There's so much that is achieved in our lives through the light of God. That can only be true fellowship, true agreement, true unity and oneness. Because you can see what you're doing. I can see my brother. I can see my sister. I can see Jesus in my brother and sister. That's what brings true fellowship. I see the Lord in her. I see God in those actions, what he's doing. That's why we learn from one another. I have learned so much from you guys over the years that areas were missing in my life. That light I saw enabled me, Lord, that I want that in my life.
Thank you, Lord.
That's good. That is right. You see? That's why we come together in fellowship, unity and oneness, because we learn from one another. Are we humble enough for that? Or have we come to a meeting, oh, I'm going to show them how you worship God today. I'm going to show them what faith really is and what love really is. You know? We don't know anything unless it is revealed to us. And Jesus walked in this same, although he was the light of the world, but that where was that light coming from? From his Father.
Amen. Amen.
I have no light unless he lights me. I don't know anything unless he reveals, he speaks to me. Jesus was absolutely clear. What humility our Saviour was showing by those statements. I don't know unless he reveals. And here we are, we think we've got all the answers. We know how to put everybody right and so on. What arrogance. We don't know a thing unless God reveals it to us by his mercy and grace. And sometimes we may have to say that to people. Sometimes you may just have to say, look, I'm going to go away and pray about what you've shared because I don't want to give a wrong answer. I need to know clearly when I come back to you that I can give you the right answer what my Heavenly Father says. Sometimes he might not say. Sometimes he may say, go back and say to that person, not yet, they're not ready yet. Fair enough. But we need to be sensitive because we're talking about the light of God. You see? Because our fellowship, our unity and oneness is about us seeing. And that light can be because God shines that light through us. He shines the light through the Word of God. He's shining this light through the anointing, the unction of the Spirit in the meeting. It's so diverse the way he does this, you see, so that we might see more. And that is why we are so blessed, as I finish now, when we come together in meetings like this, we can go away and say, you know what? I see more again today than I saw 2 hours earlier. That's what it's about. It's about the light of God. Why run away from that? That is why the overcomers stay with it. They stay with it to the end. Whatever the weather conditions, whatever is going on, no matter how you may feel, what your week has been, or whatever it is, I am staying with this. I'm in this for the rest of my life. You see? We need to understand this, brothers and sisters, because the unity and fellowship is starting here on earth. And if you cannot get on with your brother or sister, ask yourself this fundamental question: am I going to be able to get on with them in eternity in heaven? Because it's going to be eternal there. They're always going to be with me. We're always going to be there. And if I can't get on with them now here on earth, whatever is it going to be like up there? You know? So this takes it's a miracle, isn't it? This takes God working in our lives. And he's going to get us to such a point that when we come together, when we meet together as brothers and sisters, we are bonded. We are united. We have become one in Christ. It's like we're almost that one flesh. It's that mystery that's spoken about in Ephesians, where the analogy is like husband and wife comes together, because we need to understand something in the natural, but over in the spirit, that's what he's working that with us, each of us, in Christ. So that when you hurt, I hurt. When you're going through whatever it is, I'm going through that. So that we feel it. We pick it up in the spirit. And that's why our prayers are so powerful, praying for each other. As James says, pray one for another that you may be healed. Why? Because as she is suffering, so I am suffering. And God will answer those prayers. He will. And how do we know all of this? Because it comes by God's light shining in our lives. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that you bring us in to hear your word. You are the light of the world, and we choose, we desire to walk and keep in that light. That Father, help us not to run away as some do. We know, Father, there are brothers and sisters that we are praying for, that they may be restored and come back into that light. Because we know there's nowhere else to run to. You have the words of eternal life. And Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for your presence that's been with us here today. Thank you, Lord, for bringing our brothers and sisters from around the world into this room. Lord, be with them. Preserve, bless, and keep them, Father. May they ever continue to walk in the light as you are the light. Father, I know we're scattered. There's not a lot of us. But Lord, you've said that where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And Father, I pray your blessings will be upon us. Give your angels charge over us. Lord, I pray that you will ever continue to minister from the throne of grace, healing, deliverance, salvation to us. Lord, renew our youths like the eagles. Father, heal our bodies that we may be made whole.
Amen.
That we may be glory to you, Father. Father, I thank you for the deliverance in our minds as you close those doors of wrong thinking, wrong teaching, or whatever it is where the enemy has tried to work over the years. We thank you that you come as our deliverer and healer, for you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You change not, Lord. And so thank you, Father, for making this meeting today possible. For this we ask in Jesus' name.